Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bizarria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week of unbelievable fucking tyranny being inflicted upon what's supposed to be a free people. It's also the 24th day of July, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and my brother, John D., U.S. Marine fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 then mute if you want to come up on the air mixed up with John and myself today. Well, it's currently 75 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 81 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's a pretty good day. I mean, you can tell there's a little smoke in the air. It's starting to drift in here, and I'm hoping it don't get worse. I hope it doesn't get like it has in the past, because it's nasty shit. It's sickening. Ruins whatever's left of the goddamn summer for sure. That being said, how's the weather today out there in Nazi Joysy, John?
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet above sea level mean, we've got 77 degrees, 85% humidity, but because it's so cool, it actually doesn't feel that bad, thank God, because it's actually very cloudy here. It's actually quite dark, so it's out keeping the sun off us. But other than that, it's the tyranny that's bothering me and pissing me the hell off.
I hear you, brother, and, you know, Trump's going to put another 60,000 of these. They're not troops, and they're agents, you see. I don't know where these agents are. I mean, we were to have militia that was to defend the United States of these Americas, and we were to have, you know, the common law and the sheriffs and the coroner and the elected sheriff judge, and that's how we were to govern ourselves, and there was never to be no goddamn government agents with any authority over us. I mean, you want to see these fucking Antifa people, you know, fucking these Marxists, you want to see them beat down, they should be shot out of the fucking streets, because they're perpetrating a goddamn revolution right in front of our fucking eyes, and it should be the people's militia that is fucking killing them right now, shooting them dead, because they are trying to overthrow what has already been overthrown, though, because, I mean, our constitutional republic, with an emphasis on the rights of the individual, with the people holding all of the authority, has been overthrown. It was overthrown fucking many, many, many years ago, and they think it's a fait accompli. And now this cocksucker Trump thinks he can just send in his private agents. And they look like goddamn soldiers to me, John. I don't know if you've seen them, but they look like full fucking battle soldiers to me. And he's talking about another 60,000 of them being put on our fucking streets in the cities because of goddamn the communist, the Blackwater fucking private agents of the fucking the petty CEO dictators of the what the corporations they're calling states can't seem to control their comrades. And they don't want to control their comrades. It's all a setup. Pick a fucking side and kill your fucking brother. That's what it's all about. But then with the 60,000 that he's added, and he's already got another army of these agents. What the fuck? Where the fuck is it? I don't see no allowance for any agents in the Constitution, and it certainly is forbidden by the Bill of fucking Rights. But I mean, he's at another army training to, you know, help with the vaccines. So what are we going to have, 120, 200,000 federal fucking troops in our fucking streets? This is a violation of posse comitatus. These federal fucking troops cannot act as law enforcement. It is the reason it can happen is because of the treason that has been committed in the past in the creation of the charter for a fucking corporation to replace the fucking republic, in violation of the fucking supreme law of this land, and in particular the 9th and 10th articles, which when once violated violates the whole Bill of fucking Rights. And he's getting it all in place, so you people better get ready to goddamn fight. As we outnumber them, make no mistake about it, even if they can get they took Iraq, I think, with 250,000 troops. Even if they get 250,000, because they're all going to become buddies all of a sudden when it comes time to give those vaccines or to come and try and take our guns. And if they can get 250,000 of them, they still ain't shit. We send 40 million, we wipe those fuckers out in a day.
Now, Henry, these federal agents, what agency are they from?
Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, DHS, you mean the Homeland Gestapo, which me and you talked about when back in 2012, 2013, 2014, that someday they were going to do just this.
Absolutely. Go ahead, caller. I thought I heard...
I said they're foreign troops.
Yes, sir, they are foreign troops. Is a foreign occupation.
Is National Guard considered federal, or is that state by state?
Well, it was supposed to be state by state, but they sure have hell been called up into the conflicts in Iraq and in Afghanistan. They've been sent overseas. That's not Home Guard. That's federal fucking troops.
National Guard was supposed to be for here, this nation, guarding this nation in case there was an insurrection or an invasion by a foreign military force.
Yeah, but the defense of this country was never supposed to be in the hands of the fucking government, except for the provisioning. Because the government is what we were supposed to be afraid of, that they would take that constitution like they did take that constitution and then replace it with a fucking corporation. And now they're the ones that have the fucking command over these fucking agents, which are goddamn military troops. Look at them.
You mean the very people who are overthrowing this country from within are the ones in charge of our troops to stop it?
The troops that aren't supposed to exist. We, the people, are supposed to arm, equip, and train. And we are supposed to fucking put down insurrections like the one that we're witnessing. And we're supposed, if somebody tries to occupy us, we're supposed to shoot their ass out of this country. If the fucking Marxists start burning that's one thing where they try to play the fucking game with you. Because the Marxists are burning fucking industry. This country was not a country based on fucking corporation. It is not a corporation. You look up corporation and you look up goddamn republic and you will see that one cannot be the other. But the whole emphasis of this goddamn country has become the fucking dollar. The fucking, if it makes money, it's legal. It doesn't matter how fucking immoral it is or if it violates the supreme superior law and authority of we the people. Just so long as it makes money, the corporation can do it. That's the Uniform Commercial Code, which is unlawful.
Admiralty law.
That's admiralty law. That's the law of the sea. I don't live in the fucking sea. I don't have a scuba suit on right now. I'm not talking from a diving bell. I'm sitting in a fucking house on the ground.
No, Henry, well, you bring this up, and I wanted to specify the difference between federal troops and whether the National Guard was under state, because there's this article over in Intel Hubs, and the headline is, military medics now transporting Arkansas residents deemed COVID positive to undisclosed isolation facility. And this is exactly what you and I talked about in 2014 and 2015, that it was going to come to this.
Well, exactly correct. And military troops are not allowed on our fucking streets as law enforcement. But they're not military troops, John. They work for an agency. Well, actually, it's a private corporation because it's all being done within the corporate veil of the Uniform Commercial Code, which does not contain our Bill of Rights, which is absolutely forbidden under our Bill of Rights. in particular the ninth article, because it creates a power that can allow them to write dictates that violate our rights. That's just, I mean, this is what they're trying to get through people's head. They would get you used to military goddamn troops. I mean, they can say, well, they've got badges on that say that they're federal DHS agents. It's just like the so-called police, you know, the Blackwater USA in this country. They're wearing military insignia. When you see them with those stars on their fucking on their collars, that's not what a cop fucking wears. I mean, not a peace officer that is elected by the people and responsible to the people. He has no military. There are no corporals. There are no fucking generals. There are no fucking fucking privates or fucking goddamn sergeants or none of that shit. That is military insignia they are wearing, indicating that they are military. We are under martial fucking law and have been for a long fucking time.
Isn't that extrajudicial rendition?
Well, of course, but it's a goddamn occupation, is what it is. And then you've got these privateers, these fucking goddamn, what the hell do they call them? Oligarchs. These oligarchs with all the goddamn money. This first article, Bill Gates says multiple vaccines may be necessary. Who the fuck are you? You come to me, Bill Gates, straight to my fucking face and try to give me a command. I will fucking put your ass in the ground on the spot. You motherfucking piece of shit. You are not elected to any kind of fucking office that is of the United States of these Americas that has been usurped through a fucking illegal, unlawful fucking corporation that could not be formed, that was formed in violation of our law and the people's authority. And it is the duty of we the people to remove that fucking treacherous motherfucker and its treacherous 14th Amendment, because we are not subjects. We are the fucking rulers.
He's hiding. He's scared to death.
Yeah, he probably is, Mark. I mean, I don't think he's scared to death. I mean, I think they're all fucking, they're afraid, man. I mean, they've put walls up around themselves. And they have fucking security fucking teams. And this is why it's important for him to have 60,000 troops under his command within the boundaries of the United States of these Americas. And that, by God, is not fucking allowed, neither by the original Constitution, and particularly by the Ninth Article of the People's Bill of Rights, the supreme authority of this country. Well, somebody needs to get with the goddamn program. I mean, if I wasn't fucking watched and notary and have the notary that I have, I tell you what, I could figure out a way. Anyway, this guy gets me creepier by the day. This is Bill Gates the multiple vaccine doses may be necessary to protect people from coronavirus. This is from Gateway Pundit. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. This guy gets me creepier by the day. Bill Gates told CBS News that multiple doses may be necessary. Who the fuck are you? You got some kind of private fucking 501c3 corporation with zero fucking fiduciary authority in this United States? You are a goddamn insurgent, you son of a bitch. You are guilty of fucking goddamn insurgency against the fucking United States of the America and the authority of we the people. You come and try and tell us you have authority. Come to me, you little motherfucker. Who thinks you're fucking 10 feet fucking tall and got balls as big as church bells? You come to me, to my fucking face, and tell me you're gonna give you that, order me to have a shot, you son of a bitch. Without some man, you have to go hire your fucking balls. Who do you hire to fuck that pig ass old lady of yours for you, you fucking know nothing, spineless little parasite? Try it! Just like the guns, give it a fucking go. And if you want 160,000 fucking troops, American fuckers dead, If those 160,000 fucking Americans are willing to commit high fucking treason against the fucking superior law and the authority of we the people, we will put your fucking ass in the ground. You will fucking die. Oh, Trump says, oh, they're tough guys. Well, fucking, you're going to find out there's other tough guys out here. And a whole fucking lot more of them than you. And you think we don't have anything to fight with, you got another think of coming. You think we don't have the ingenuity, we built everything. I love the way in that one article they talked about the reason that they were ruling was because they were more intelligent. Every fucking thing that's been built, you have fucking had built for you for slave fucking labor for the fucking riches of this fucking country. All you have aptitude for is sleaziness, being a parasite, fucking child pedophilia, and fucking murder, and fucking backstabbing. That's your forte, you son of a bitch. We will show you innovativeness. We will create a fucking virus that just kills fucking elitists. How about that? We'll find something common in your fucking genealogy, you motherfuckers. God damn it. Gates said this could require over 7 billion vaccinations given worldwide. Where have I heard that number 7 billion before, John? Well, that's everybody, isn't it? And what are you going to withhold it or give a different vaccination to the 500 million that you're going to let live to be your fucking slaves, Bill? You punk little bitch. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates said Wednesday that people could need multiple doses of a potential coronavirus. Who the fuck are you to be even involved in this? A non-governmental fucking private fucking agency. You try it. You better have a private fucking army of about 40 fucking million if you want to even give it a go. And we're going to get to you, you little prick. You are going to stand trial for fucking treason against the authority of we the people and against our the law of our fucking people that is ratified fucking law by our people. And you are going to stand trial in a common law court. And I want to watch your weasel. You're going to look like that motherfucker when they show them the Nuremberg trials. That one's just shaking all over. That's going to be you, you little spineless piss ant. You got to go hide in a fucking hole. Why don't you come out in fucking public and start fucking running your fucking smart mouth, you little prick? Get out here and do, you know, that's the worst part of it. That tough guy fucking talk by the guy hiding behind his hired fucking balls. You don't have any balls, you little pussy. If you do, come to my house and tell me to my fucking, fucking throw me up against the wall and give me a shot, you little fucker. I want to see it. Anyway, none of the vaccines at this point appear like they'll work with a single dose, Gates said. You ain't giving me one, motherfucker. My body belongs to me, and my goddamn rights are absolute, and I will defend them with my fucking life, and I will take life, fucking as much life as I can fucking take from the motherfuckers who are trying to fucking take my life. Make no mistake about it, and there's a whole fucking lot more than me. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, you little prick. You little Napoleonic prick. You think you can take over the fucking world? Give it a fucking go. Others have thought so in the past, and they've ended up fucking dead. And we're not going to put you on a fucking island somewhere. We're not going to put you. See, that's what one of the things I always didn't like about Mark Carnegie. Oh, we can't kill them. We got to keep them. No, those motherfuckers are going to die the most horrible fucking death that we can fucking think of, because there is no death fucking hideous enough to fucking to make it right with what they have done to our people. Fraud. COVID-19 is almost your worst nightmare. This is from Axios. It was sent in by Katie for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The unique characteristics of the pandemic may not allow people to completely eradicate it. They see that it's because people This is what they have done is just put a different label on the common cold. And everybody's always known. I've known it since I was just a little boy. There is no cure for the common cold. They've never been able to find a cure for the common cold. Because it's a natural fucking reaction in the fucking human body. It's a part of our fucking physiological makeup, which they intend to change with their fucking freak shots they want to fucking give you with the tracker chip in it. The unique characteristics of this pandemic may not allow people to completely eradicate it, but public health measures and good vaccines should bring very good control. See, this is just like after 9/11. Your life is going to change. You're going to have less rights. You're going to be spied on. We're going to look up your fucking ass. We're going to make your life a living fucking hell. We're going to make you fucking into slaves. We are going to finally subjugate you under that fucking law we put in place in 1869. And that was when this first started, you know, this coronavirus. You know, well, coronavirus. Oh, your life's getting ready to change. Mine ain't. Except to the point that I'm going to have to go to fucking war to preserve the fucking freedom and liberty that I was guaranteed by the blood of my fucking ancestors who have fought for it and fought for that fucking Bill of Rights, fought for that ratified law, fought so that they would not be subjugated to the fucking aristocracy, these fucking pimp motherfuckers. Oh, we're smarter than you. I see your fucking faces. I hear you talk. You are not fucking smarter than even the average motherfucker out here. You're some of the dumbest inbred motherfuckers to ever breathe air. And you like Napoleon, like fucking, fucking Alexander the Great, like fucking, God damn it, the Roman, Caesar Augustus. You're not conquering the fucking world. You're gonna fucking die. A fucking nasty fucking death is what's gonna happen to you. And we, the people, are gonna reinstate our fucking law. And we're gonna wipe you from this fucking planet. See, we can say that because there are 7 billion of us that you wanna give a fucking shot to, cocksucker. We can say it. We do have the fucking wherewithal to easily, to completely remove your fucking scurry asses from this fucking planet so that you never cause anybody misery again. Rothschilds, Carnegies, Rockefellers, you're not gonna get fucking exiled to some place where you're gonna sit in a fucking nice comfort. You will hunt your fucking ass down into your fucking spider hole. We'll drag your fucking ass out screaming and crying and shit in your pants. We'll bring you back to these United States of this America. And we will fucking try you in our common law courts. And when you're found guilty, you will fucking hang in front of a mirror. No mask. You don't even get to close your eyes because we're stapling your fucking eyelids to your forehead. You're going to watch yourself shit all over yourself as you do the shit dance. It's been tried many times. Over. That's what people, you know, they just like, oh, this new world order. This new world. Other empires have tried to conquer the fucking world. People have been trying to conquer the fucking world since the people got to the point to where there was civilizations. There were always strong, at one time fucking nobody was more mighty than Egypt. Egypt could conquer the world. And then there was Rome. Nobody was more mighty than Rome. Rome almost conquered the world. The Mongols, they were going to conquer the fucking world. They conquered a whole lot. They did a whole lot of conquering. But they all ended up in the same place, and that's in the fucking ground, and that's where your asses are going. Get used to the fucking idea. You're not going to pull it off. This is from, okay.
Henry, that was Caesar you were trying to think of.
Caesar, thank you, John. Caesar, yeah. He got a knife in the belly, didn't he?
I think they stabbed him, 41 times? Every senator put their knife in him at least once.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
The first one was in the back.
Good. That's what he deserved. Anybody that wants to take over the world, these are sick people who want to rule over other human beings, who just don't want to let people live and leave them alone. They want you to fucking bow to them like they think they are fucking gods on this fucking earth. They think they have a higher intelligence. Well, they found out time and time again, they weren't. They all met their Waterloo. And your fucking Waterloo's coming up, you motherfucking one world son of a bitch and Rothschild son of a bitches. I know you've manipulated all the way through, all even through the Napoleonic Wars. You fucking had the knowledge that said that Napoleon had fucking won. And you fucking made fortunes off of that fucking lie, didn't you? But we know who you are. We know who you are at the fucking top. And if we don't know who you are at the top, when we get to the top, it ain't just going to be try and convict. Once you're convicted, you're going to get fucking waterboard. You're going to get some intense interrogation. We're going to root every fucking one of you out, and we are going to destroy you. And the people of this fucking world, we are going to offer our Bill of Rights. Fucking liberty and freedom for each individual with equal fucking right to justice. And the people are going to live happily on this bountiful fucking earth that is more, that puts out more than enough so that everyone could live in fucking luxury if they wanted to, if it wasn't for the fucking handful of greedy, filthy, fucking evil pieces of parasitic shit that have fucking made it. I mean, these motherfuckers, they make it their life making misery for other people because they want to own human beings. That is a fucking sickness. That is the fucking sickness. I mean, I think about it sometimes, owning another human being. I mean, the thought of it makes it just repulsive. But then again, these are people who think it's all right to fuck a 3-month-old baby. It's all right. They won't remember. And hey, I got my jollies off, my fucking sick-ass jollies off. That's who you're dealing with. And that's what people tend to forget. You can't just look at the fucking lies and deceit and the theft. You got to look at the fucking inner fucking monsters that these people are. They have fucking child just like this Epstein thing. You think this hasn't been going on since this country has been a country? It was just that they could keep it quiet easier. There wasn't so many eyes looking at them. That's why they want to look at you. That's why they want to be able to see every one of you and know what you're doing every day, because they're scared shitless. You find out what they have been doing to little children, the humanity in you will force you to come out and be a fucking man and fucking destroy them. Or else you are not human. A human being could not fucking tolerate what these son of a bitches are doing. No human being could. And call themselves a man. Or even a woman. They are doing this to little children right as I'm speaking to you. They are fucking, they defiling, doing the most monstrous things. They're fucking snuff films. They're making snuff films with little children right now. These sick motherfuckers, like the senator, you know, he talked about how Dick Cheney liked to watch snuff films of little children. How fucking sick can you get? And then, of course, you know, who's run? Who you got to choose from for your fearless leader? You got that fucking dead-headed fucking Irishman, that drunkard fucking child pedophile, Joe Biden, or else you got the fucking Trump, the king of the Jews. That's your fucking choice? Who do you want to bow to? Whose ring do you want to kiss? We'll be right back.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Now, the first thing you're going to say is to be or not or to be. It's going to come up in a second. You...
Okay. to be or not to be. To free or not to free. To crawl or not to crawl. Fuck off those perfect people. To sleep or not to sleep. To creep or not to creep. Some can't remember what others recall. Fuck off those perfect people. Sleepy eyes waltzing through. No, I'm not talking about you. To stand, to plan or not to plan, to stall or not to stall. Fuck all those perfect people. To drink or not to drink. To think or not to think. Some choose to dismember your rise and your fall. And fuck all those perfect people. Sleepy eyes waltzing through. I'm not talking about you. Not to sing, to swing or not to swing. Hell, he fills up the silence like a chalk on the wall. Fuck all those perfect people. To pray or not to pray. To sway or not to sway. Jesus died for something or nothing at all. Fuck all those perfect people. Sleepy eyes waltzing through. I'm not talking.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1237 Pacific time. And it's time for your co-host, my brother John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, to do the tactical report. So I will say, John, you have the floor.
All right, Henry. Thank you very much, as always. And I love, man, you're on fire today. I love it. I just, you know, I wish we had the video. Remember the old days when you were running this program? You actually had a little video feed so people could see you, you know, talking to the microphone. Well, if we had that same thing, you know, why they would see you basically just salivating at the mouth to get your hands on someone like Bill Gates and give them a little dose of that democracy they want for us. You would just see me sitting here smiling like I just won the lottery.
wouldn't you like to put your arms around that perfect person?
Oh, I would just love to hug them. I would just love them. I would love them to death, just like they want to do to us, Henry. All right, let me get going here. We got the I Am John D. U.S. Marine fighting tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is Frey's Day for those that follow Norwegian mythology. And it wasn't just the Vikings. You're talking about the Norwegian theology, because that was their religious system, the Frey, Fey, Odin, Thor, and the word Friday comes from Frey's Day, believe it or not. So hats off to the old Norwegians. Anyway, it is Friday, July 24th, 2020. It is 3:40 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 3:40 to all you civilians out there. And to everybody who thinks this vaccine's going to work for you, Mickey's little hand is just past the 3, and his big hand is pointing towards the 8. And if you're not even sure what the 8 is, it's the thing that looks like a little snowman. Yeah. All right, let's get moving here. Got a couple of interesting things. You know, Henry is right. It's up to us, period. Either we are going to fight, and we are not the insurrection. We who must fight, we who are going to pick up arms to defend our country and to defend the Bill of Rights above all else, which is our sovereign rights. We are not the insurrection. We are the preservation of the Republic. We are the preservers of the Bill of Rights, and it is our job to preserve it. It's not the government's job, because that's not what the government was ever for. There is no case in history of any government ever fighting to preserve the sovereign rights of its people. All governments move from whatever its starting point was, whether it was a military coup, or it was just an uprising, or a revolution. All governments become tyrannical in the end. Every single one. There is no exception. So with that in mind, the government is not here to protect your rights. It never was going to protect your rights. It is here to usurp your rights and to make you a slave, because that's what governments want. You know why? Because government represents power, and power always attracts the worst sort. The people who should least be in government are the ones who seek it the most. That's the problem. And that's the problem that we have to come up with a solution for. Oh, we have a solution. That's right. They need a vaccination of high-speed lead aimed right at their mouth. Don't even aim for the forehead. Right in the mouth, and you just blow their brain stem out. Instant death. All right, let's get moving here. Got a couple of things I want to cover, and I want to get back to this idea of our bug-out bag and stresses. Number one, I like this. This is over in Zero Hedge. Gunshot to the head. Parkinson's disease. Deaths in Palm Beach incorrectly attributed to COVID-19. I love a gunshot to the head, but their death was listed as a COVID-19. People die from Parkinson's disease. No, it's COVID-19. You could die in a car accident. No, it's COVID-19. It's the news buzzword. Get on the bus, people. Come on, help out Bill Gates and his international psychopathic club of international communists. They want to own you and everything about you. And this is how they're doing it, people. You are witnessing the method, the madness, to complete global tyranny, and it's called COVID-19. All right, let's keep going here. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is certainly an indication, and this is the stuff me and Henry was talking about back in 2013, 2014, 2015, when they tried this with the MERS and the SARS, and we even had the West Nile. Remember, they were trying to push that as a global pandemic, or it looked like they were about to try and push it as a global pandemic, but they couldn't make that next leap that they did achieve this time. So this is an interesting article. I don't know if it's true. I hope somebody can confirm it. It's over in Intel Hub. And I mentioned it before, military medics now transporting Arkansas residents deemed COVID positive to undisclosed isolation facility. And its subtitle is, "It's happening, people. Medics from the National Guard are now rounding up civilians and transporting them to a secret facility." Now remember, I covered this, and I covered this back in 2015, 2014. The U.S. Army, which I'm sure they share with the National Guard, has an operation manual for this. It's called FM, which stands for Field Manual. And I remember when it was TM, Technical Manual, which means they were still refining it. But when they went to the FM designation, that meant this was the operational version of those drafts. So it's FM 3-39.40, Internment and Resettlement Operations, and was actually released in February of 2010. Now, I want you to hear just a couple. I'm not even going to go into all the categories. I just want you to hear a few of these subject matters in this manual. And right in Chapter 1, it's going to be, personnel categories, that is, how they're going to define you, status determination. Well, they're going to put a label on you, people, so they got to determine what your status is. Then there's Article 5 tribunals, and then there's appeals and periodic reviews of civilian internees. Whoa, wait a minute. Appeals and periodic reviews? Well, how fucking long are they planning on holding you? Then there's general protection and care of detainees, U.S. military prisoners, and they're not talking about military personnel. They're talking about civilians being held by U.S. military personnel. General protection and care of detainees, U.S. military prisoners, and dislocated civilians. Agencies concerned with internment and resettlement. Protecting power. That's going to be those vaccinations, people, because they got to protect you. You know why? Because they love you. They love you. They love your family. And they want to love you all to death. And there's more. There's way more to it. I just wanted you to get an idea what is in this manual, because that is for use here. Because the U.S. Army does not go into other countries and engage in internment and resettlement operations. That would fall under civilian international communist agencies like the U.N. Remember, the Army is a fighting force. It is not an internment and resettlement force. This manual is for use here in the United States, which means it's meant for use on you and your family. If you want to look it up, just look up Internment and Resettlement Operations or FM 3-39.40. It'll come right up. They even boast. They let you see it. They want you to see it. They want you to know what they're planning. This way, maybe you'll acquiesce to the idea because it's for your protection, don't you know? Going on, talking about protection, let's talk about the threat first. Over in Sputnik News, blow-up event could crush U.S. dollar as multi-trillion dollar debts mount, ex-IMF deputy head warns. Now remember, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is the international communist people. They're the ones who are behind this. So when he tells you this, it's because they're the ones who are planning it. They're the ones who help facilitate these kinds of actions. Now, when he talks about a blow-up event, he's talking about the destruction of purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. Remember, there is no such thing as a U.S. dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note created by the Federal Reserve, which is nothing more than a certificate of enslavement by the Zionist Jews or by the international communists through their international communist financial system, which the Federal Reserve is part of. So they're giving you fair warning here. Now, is there anybody else giving these kind of warnings? Well, you've heard me talking about it for the last couple of weeks. But let's see what the latest warning is over in RT, Russia Today. The world is going back to a gold standard as the U.S. dollar is about to collapse. And that's by Peter Schiff. And Peter Schiff is not a dumb guy. Now, the one thing he does typically get wrong is the timetable. When he takes the effort, or let's say he puts himself at risk by trying to predict timetables for certain financial events, he's usually off the mark a little bit. His reasoning is absolutely right, but his timetable tends to be a little bit off. But that's the worst case usually for Peter Schiff. And right now he is off on his timetable because his prediction was that gold was already going to have the major breakout that everyone's expecting and that the U.S. dollar was going to be even more devalued than it is currently. But that doesn't mean he's wrong, just because it hasn't happened yet. In fact, we are on the eve of it, people, and I do agree with Peter Schiff. The U.S. dollar is about to collapse. So this is an interesting article if you want to read about it. And what are some of the mechanics that are absolutely going to cause this? All right, let's see here. Just so you know, the all-time high for gold And when I say the all-time high price, remember, it's not that the gold was more expensive. It's that the dollar was deemed or was valued as less. Gold is the measuring stick. Silver is the measuring stick, not the other way around. So when you see the price go up, it's not that the price has gone up. It's the value of the dollar has gone down. Remember that, because that is always the case. Now, there is always the fluctuation of supply and demand effect also, but that's not really what's driving the price. What's really driving the price is the fact that they are printing this currency ad infinitum. You've got $26-plus trillion in debt that they tell us about directly, and if you go over to U.S. National Debt Clock, they even tell you right there on this website that the total U.S. debt that they're admitting to is well over $80 trillion. 80 trillion. And that's what's called the on-book debt. Then when you count what's called the off-book debt, you could basically double all these numbers. All right, so now we know that the high of gold was 1920, $1,920.30, and that was in September of 2011. Let's see what it's at today. Right now it's at 1900 bucks, almost flat. It was actually up to about 1907. $1,907 earlier today. So we're getting right up there, right to its historic high, its absolute high in all of history as measured by the U.S. dollar. Silver right now is currently at $22.66. And let's take a quick look at these fraud markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 26,500. The U.S. dollar index is at about 94%. And crude oil is holding at about $40.88. Again, one of the key indicators that you are about to enter into the twilight zone or the complete crushing or the loss of purchasing power of this U.S. dollar is when you see the price of gold exceed about, I'm going to say, $2,400 or $2,500 bucks. Once it passes $2,500 bucks, I think we're off to the races. When you see the price of silver exceed $50 an ounce, I think we're off to the races. When you see crude oil exceed $125 a barrel, $150 a barrel, certainly anything over $150 a barrel, coupled with those other factors, you could be pretty sure we are entering the initial phases of mega inflation or possibly hyperinflation. And hyperinflation is when your currency loses really all purchasing power. So my suggestion to anyone who's got money, hey, look, you really need to consider, if you're going to invest in any gold and silver as your insurance policy, as a protection of your purchasing power, now's the time. Over in King World News, legend Pierre Lassonde says a massive tidal wave of buying has started that could send the price of gold over $10,000 an ounce. Now, let me give you a small comment here. Pierre Lassonde, again, is no dummy. This is a pretty smart guy, and I agree with him. There is a massive tidal wave of buying that's going on, and what you're going to see is that they're going to demand physical delivery. It's not that they're just going to buy and then later on sell and never actually take possession of it. People, institutions, and governments are buying, and they are demanding delivery of the physical asset. And when they can't meet that delivery requirement, that's when you're going to see a force majeure, and you are going to see the climaxes implode on themselves. You are going to see the derivatives get lit off like a stick of dynamite, and that's also what could trigger the massive crush in what is called the U.S. dollar. All right, let's get moving here. Right now, currently, if you aren't interested in buying any silver, I think silver is the better bet. Gold's a great bet, even at $1,900 an ounce, believe it or not. That's not bad if you've got the money, but what's sometimes called the poor man's gold, which is silver, you can now buy silver currently at this moment. If you want the coin version of it, and especially the Canadian maple, which is actually legal tender also. I wouldn't use it as legal tender because it's considered a $5 piece, if I remember right. Let me see if we got it here. Yeah, the Canadian maple is a $5 coin, but it's worth actually a lot more than that, so I wouldn't just trade it or use it for a $5 piece. But you can buy it right now in places like, and I don't make any money with them or anything, but they're about the cheapest that I could find on right now. Bullion Exchanges is now selling it at about $29.91 if you pay by credit card per 1 ounce coin. That's 1 ounce of silver, but it is minted. It's a minted coin. It's actual legal tender, especially in Canada. And it's a $5 coin, but again, I wouldn't use it as a $5 coin. But you can buy it right now at nearly 30 bucks. And now the price is $22. So you're talking about a price premium of about 30% which is actually way cheaper than when silver was down to $12 just a few months ago. When it was silver was at $12, you couldn't buy unless you were willing to pay a price premium of about 100%. So right now the price premium's actually dropped because the price of the silver has come up. So if you're interested in buying it, that's one place. I mean, you can look. You can go on eBay. There's other precious metals dealers. There's AMEX, American Precious Metals Exchange, and they're a reliable dealer. There's several of them. But typically I buy some of my stuff, if I'm going to buy any, from Bullion Exchange, because they tend to be the cheapest. They have the smallest margin on their prices, so you get a slightly better deal. Anyway, let's go on. Let's get into this bug-out bag stuff, because you may end up needing to use it, especially, you know, forget about the rioting. What if they fucking send a military unit into an area to evacuate it, to resettle it? They want to send you to a temporary internment camp, or they've declared your area a COVID hotspot. So we temporarily have to remove people, and we're going to put them up in one of these camps, one of these internment camps, one of these quarantine camps. Yeah. That might be a time that you want to bug out. At least hit the hills, hit the trees, get the hell out of Dodge just so they can't grab you, and then you can always come back to your house a few days later, a week later, whatever it is, because eventually they will start moving on to clear out other areas if they're going to try this scenario or this approach. So we were talking about a bug-out bag, the types of supplies, but we've been talking about stresses and loading, and they're not the same thing, because you load yourself with things like water, food, which is caloric loading, also physical loading, how much weight you're throwing on yourself, because these factors all combine to give you a, let's say, a limited range per day. I mean, you put that 60-pound pack on your back, you're not going to march out there and go 40 or 50 miles in one day. I don't give a shit what shape you're in. Now, if you're in decent shape with a 60-pound back, you could probably, a pack, you could probably make, oh, I'm going to guess 10 miles, maybe 15 or 20. And if you've done a fair amount of training, or you're certainly younger, maybe you can even push 20 plus miles. But for older people, my thresholds, my criteria is I want to be able to make 10 miles a day with whatever I'm carrying and have my internal resources. Remember, we discussed the difference between internal and external, and I'm going to cover that again. But my internal resources should be able to provide me at least 1 gallon of water a day and at least 2,000 calories a day. Now, if I march 10 miles a day, I can tell you right now I'm going to be losing weight. 2,000 calories is not enough if you are carrying a 60-pound pack and you are marching 10 miles, especially over what's called uneven or broken terrain. That takes more energy than if you were just walking on a hard pack or a hard surface like a road. If you're marching through the woods, which is considered uneven or broken terrain, that takes about 30 to 50% more energy than compared to when you're just walking down a hard pack road. All right, so we talked about loading, and there's high quality and low quality, meaning let's take food. You can have high quality caloric loading, a low quality caloric loading. I mean, you can be eating shit food. You might be eating old food. Now, the older food gets, even if it remains sterile, that is, it is not compromised biologically, the nutritional value starts to break down after time. So even if the food, you're eating what you think is the right amount of food, you might only be getting about 80% of the calories you expect from the food, because the complex sugars, the proteins, and the carbohydrates, they start to break down over time. That's one of the problems with long-term food or trying to store food for long-term, is that the nutritional value is not retained at a 100% level. Okay, but maybe it's retained at a 95% level or a 90% level. Hey, that's great. At least I'm eating. That's a lot better than starving to death, isn't it? All right, so we've talked about loading and the different kinds of loadings, and then when you put the loading factors together with the various kinds of stresses you'll encounter under such a scenario, that provides you your total stress load. And your total stress load is always more, or the human body reacts to it differently, as compared to just simply adding up the sum of the individual stresses and loads, like that was the total load. It's not. When you add them all up, the total load is always greater. The way it acts on you is always greater than the sum of the individual loads. So let's go over these stresses one more time. You got psychological stress, which is how it affects your mind, your perceptions, your thinking, your judgments. Physiological stress, how it affects your body, your muscles, your immune system. And, of course, fatigue. Fatigue is a huge, huge factor that you're going to be more concerned with as this state goes on. That is, the longer you are on your feet, the longer you are on the move, the more fatigue becomes a critical element. And you have to understand or know how to recognize the early signs of fatigue so you can try and minimize the effects to maintain your maximum combat effectiveness at all times. We talked about thermal load. Everyone knows about hypothermic. Oh, he fell in the lake. He was in that water for a good 10 minutes. You know, the paramedics got him. They had to put a hot water blanket on him and stuff. Everybody's aware of that, but being too hot is just as not more dangerous as being too cold. Hyperthermic is when your body is not rejecting enough heat. Hypothermic is when your body has lost too much heat. And they're both very dangerous conditions, and both for their own medical reasons, which we'll go into. You got emotional stresses. The mere fact that you had to bug out of your house, which you consider your safe area, your home, your base of operation, the mere fact that you felt that it had become untenable to stay there is going to induce an emotional stress on you. And that emotional stress can be severe for some people, especially if you're a family guy and you're bugging out with your wife and kids, especially if they're younger kids. You know, let's say that they're not little kids, 7 or 8 year old, but at least young teenagers, and they're not accustomed to even the idea of this. It's going to have a severe effect on them, and that the effect on them will have an effect on you also. So it's not even just your emotional stress you're going to be dealing with. You're going to be dealing with the emotional stress of the friends and or family and or loved ones who are with you. Then you got physical stress. And that's, of course, is the loading and the muscle fatigue and the joint aches you're going to feel after you've been on the move for a few days. Because as I guarantee, you live in a regular nice house, you're probably not out there training every day like there's a wolf ready to eat you. I mean, you may train. You may get out there 2-3 times a week, 4 times a week. But do you go out there every day like and live in the woods? Have you ever actually gone out there and moved like you're being hunted down for a week straight? Most people haven't. So there's going to be a physical stress that starts to accumulate. And after about day 3 and day 4, you're really going to start to feel the net effect of that. Caloric, food deprivation. One of the interesting things that happens, and they've studied this about with people in combat, is even if you are capable of mitigating extreme environmental conditions such as heat and cold, the sheer psychological stress that you are under, plus this unusual environment, starts to limit how much food or how much nutrition your body actually absorbs from the food you're eating. That is, as the stress becomes greater and greater on you, even if you're eating what you perceive to be the right amount, your body does not readily absorb the nutrients from the food. You actually start to just excrete useful food or useful nutrients without ever absorbing it. It's just one of those peculiar phenomenons, the way the human body reacts to extreme stress. Most people don't realize that or know about it, but it's one of the things we're going to be discussing, how to try and mitigate that, because the moment you're under stress, that will start to kick in. Now, it doesn't become extreme until the conditions become extreme, but it will have an effect on you. We talked about caloric, and then hydro stress, water. We talked about the essentials of water, and water for most people is going to be the limiting factor. Number one, because you need so much per day. You need a minimum of 1 gallon per day, but in reality, on hot days, I've gone through as much as 0.5 gallon an hour. On a really hot day, if I'm out there doing physical work, which I might be doing if I had to bug out and have a 60-pound pack on me, and I think I got to make 10 miles of mileage on my feet, that's an extreme physical condition. You could easily go through a quart to 0.5 gallon of water in a very hot, muggy afternoon easily. And if you've only allotted yourself 1 gallon per day, well, you're going to go through that limit within as little as 2 hours sometimes. That's a problem. That's a real problem. So you've got to learn how to mitigate your water loss or how to compensate it or to make adjustments in your physical activity to kind of reduce your need for water if you have a very limited supply of water. So water is essential, but the problem, of course, is you can't carry all that much because it's just so damn heavy. Even if you set your threshold that you want your internal resources to provide 5 days of water at 1 gallon per day, that's 5 gallons, at 8 pounds per gallon, well, that's over 40 pounds on your back just in water. That's not including anything else. Just water would be over 40 pounds. So water is an essential consideration. Anyway, I do see we're getting near the top of the hour, so let me mention just one or two other things. I want to go over just the bug out bag categories, and then next week we're really going to start dwelling down to each one of these categories. And these are the types of supplies or categories of supplies you might want to have in your bug out bag. You've heard me mention it, but I'm going to mention it again. Number one, of course, is clothes. And I'm going to have both civilian and military clothes with me. That is camouflage clothes, but civilian clothes with me in case I got to ditch my backpack or I get somewhere where I don't want to look like I have military training, or at least I want to try and blend in with the civilian population in that area. I got to have some civilian clothes with me. Of course, there's food. There's water, which we just spent a little time talking about. You might want to have water purification and or filtration system. Cooking, such as equipment and the fuel needed to operate that equipment. Navigation, like maps, compasses. Communications, typically it's going to be short range. You're not going to carry a ham radio set up with you. So it is going to be some form of short range wireless communication, two-way. First aid, medications, which is not the same as first aid. Tools, you know, critical hand tools, like a knee tool, a hand axe. Lighting, like a flashlight, and maybe just a couple of chem sticks in your backpack. NBC equipment, nuclear, biological, and chemical equipment, chemical warfare equipment, because you don't know what these desperate enemy force and occupation soldiers are willing to lob at you. So you might want to have just a couple of simple items that doesn't take up a lot of room, but yet might help you in that circumstance. Rappelling, you might want to have a length of rope with you, like 100 feet, 150 feet, in which case you're also going to need carabiners, maybe a cam lock, and certainly a pair of gloves. Camouflage, like a cami net, like they throw over vehicles. You've seen those in war movies, they throw cami netting over vehicles, or they set up some cami netting, and they're sitting there underneath it. But even if you take a little 15 by 15 or a 10 by 10 piece, that can really help camouflage your position, believe it or not. Shelter, like a little pop-up tent. Information, like a little book, like a little camping survival manual. And the Army's got some, the Marines got some, and there's a world of different manuals out there produced by independent authors. Vision aids, well, if you're carrying that little book and you need glasses to read, you damn well better have an extra pair of glasses or two with you. And certainly a pair of binoculars, even a small pair can help you. Emergency fishing equipment, emergency hunting equipment like snares, washing and hygiene equipment. And don't forget, put a roll of toilet paper inside one of those waterproof Ziploc bags. You're going to need some toilet paper. Fire starting, perimeter alarm and or booby trap materials. Batteries, if you have anything that's battery operated. And or a charging system, if you have something that's battery operated but uses rechargeable batteries. Maybe even some earplugs, like those little foamies, and we'll get into why that's important. A little sewing kit. Cutting equipment, like a knife, a machete, or a hand axe. Your weapon system, and that's going to be a whole conversation and then all of it on its own. Rain gear, like a poncho, a cover for your Alice pack to keep all your gear dry, a sleeping bag with a bivy cover, they call it, and that means if you sleep on wet ground, at least your sleeping bag doesn't get soaking wet while you're sleeping on the friggin' ground. A list of contents. Now, I didn't mention this before, but one of the things you want to do is, well, as you're putting stuff into your Alice pack, as you're packing it, have a notepad there, and write down what you're putting in there. Have a list, because you're going to keep that list in one of the front pockets that's easily accessible, so you know what you have in there, what date you packed it, and what were the expiration dates on any items that have an expiration date. Then you might have, if you want to have a couple of extra items, if you feel you want to carry the weight, like a thermal blocker, a blanket. And they're actually very light, and it's really like like the bubble wrap stuff, but on one side it's coated with aluminum. And you can actually wrap it in your little rubber bitch or the rubber mat that you might carry on the bottom of your Alice pack that you sleep on. And you can roll it in there. But those help if you're fighting an enemy who has a technological advantage of a flare system. And that's the stuff that can see you in the dark because of your heat signature. And then even a smaller item, which you may want to carry, is a little tiny Geiger counter. I actually have one, a portable one. It's about the size of a deck of cards, believe it or not. But a Geiger counter might come in hand depending on where you are and what's going on. And a couple of other items, but we're going to get into that next week. Anyway, unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, and Michelle.
Hey, JD.
Yeah, come on up.
Hey, it's Doc. Sorry. you might want to stress also, all the stuff that you're naming off is going to be terrain-specific and mission-specific. Because that's a lot of weight, and you pack stuff for a month. I pack stuff for a month to live out of, and I've also seen people that put everything on their gear list in their pack too. And then, you know, March 5 miles with it, stuff starts shedding off, and you find out what's not important and what's very important to carry with you. Because, like you said, you know, a few gallons of water, that can add up in weight really, really fast. But also, yeah, you lose that weight when, you know, as you're drinking it, and you need to get resupplied.
We're going to be discussing that again. I said these are the category of items. Now, they're not going to be suitable for everyone to pack every item I mentioned, just because, number one, the volume, how much space it takes, but number two, as you said, the weight.
Right. You have to fight. You know, train how you fight and fight how you train, or vice versa. I forget how the saying goes. You know, and when you fight to win. I mean, you can't be a very combat effective if you're carrying, you know, I've done this before. My pack with my medical gear was 130 pounds. And
yeah, that's a fair amount of weight, 130.
It is. And you're not going very far with that.
No, you're not. If you can make 5 miles with that at a clip, that's pretty damn far.
I jumped off a landing craft onto a beach in Egypt and sunk to just about my knees. And also, a very important thing is footwear. At the time I was wearing Bates. They were kind of like jungle boots, but they were very soft soled, more geared for pavement work, you know, walking on pavement. And okay, to have a good load bearing pair of boots is very essential, because those soft ones, they might be good for walking around on pavement, you know, for a paramedic or an EMT where they don't have to go over rough terrain all that much. But to actual, you know, as soon as I could, I switched those back out to my old green jungle boots. And in my opinion, those are hard to beat. I'm sure there's better boots out nowadays, but, you know, it's just, you just can't expect to buy a pack, fill it up with stuff, and then be ready to go to war with that kind of stuff. Myself, I have, I don't necessarily carry a bug out bag. But I do carry a get-home bag, you know, because my bug-out is my home. That's, you know, if I'm going to die, that's where I'm going to die, in a pile of brass, of hot brass. And there's going to be bodies stacked like cordwood, hopefully. But, you know, my goal is to get home to Misty. Hi, Misty. My goal is to get home to her. And if I need to take the fight out to them, then I'm in a bad situation, because I'm by myself. It's just me and her. So that's my goal, is just to get home, you know, and then if I need to do operations from there, then I can pack mission specific for that particular, you know. I don't have to carry 100 pounds worth of gear to be gone. It's going to be go out, pop some shots off, and come back, you know, more guerrilla warfare type deal. And that's the decision that I've made for my specific scenario. And, you know, everybody's going to have their own different scenarios. I'm sure, you know, I know there's one fellow that's a truck driver, you know, that's his home. He's got to defend his home. His mission is going to be specific to him. And so I just wanted to add that along. Footwear is very important. You're not going very far at all if your feet aren't comfortable, and you know this as well as I do, JD, change your socks, take your Motrin, and hydrate.
Yep.
You've heard that before. All right, I'm out. Thanks.
No, Doc, you're bringing up all great points, and we're going to address this again and again, because for people who have done this very little, have little exposure to it, or people who have not done it at all, some of the stuff we're going to be talking about, it's common sense to us, but not necessarily to anyone who hasn't done it. And as you said, it can have the complete effect of bringing you to mission failure, just because you didn't anticipate some of the difficulties that we're going to be addressing. And a simple one is footwear. If you don't have the right footwear, you ain't getting far at all. And I told you one time, I wore brand new boots. I thought I would break them in while we were just going out on a forced march. And I almost turned myself into a cripple. That was probably the dumbest thing I ever did. I almost destroyed my feet.
That'll break in a pair of boots. That'll also break down your feet.
Oh, it destroyed my feet. I can't tell. For days, I didn't walk right because I had ripped them up so bad, literally ripped them up.
They don't do it anymore, but the Marine Corps used to have the McCrest, if you remember those. They were the Marine Corps Readiness Evaluation System, and it was, you did a field op. I don't know. It was my first time. I was very new to the Corps, at that time. They stuck me with a mortar platoon. We went, they flew us out to a ship. We spent the night on the ship, assaulted the next day, and then prepped for a 20-mile hump. And you had to do it in 8 hours or less. And I'm telling you what, my ass was sucking buttermilk on that one. But I earned the respect of my shipmates, my Marines, and because I did do the whole thing. And, but I tell you what, that made me think a lot about footwear and the importance of it. And, you know, the docs, they really didn't get a break. When we were taking a break every hour, we were taking a 10-minute break, I think it was, every hour. I'm checking on my Marines and, you know, making sure that they – because it's just demotivating to have to move so far so quick. It's demotivating. When you stop for a break, you don't want to do anything. But you still have to. You know, there's certain things that you have to do or else mission failure, you know, and that's not good. You're losing your combat effectiveness.
Yeah. Now, when you did your 20-mile pack out, do you remember roughly what was your load? How heavy was your Alice pack at that point, roughly?
They weren't that heavy, but you know what? That, you know, 6 ounces, 1 pound, that turned into 5 pounds. That turned into 10 pounds. It was basically, I think it was a sleeping bag, my medical kit, a sleeping bag, poncho liner, a couple pairs of socks, and maybe a change of camis. It wasn't that heavy, and water. You know, I think we had, I don't know, this was back in the 80s, two canteens.
Right, but you were wearing goose gear too, right?
Yeah.
All right, so your total load, everything you're carrying, besides your Alice pack, you got to wear the flak jacket and what's called the H-harness and all that. So you were probably still carrying about 35, 40 pounds altogether easy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the SEALs train with. The SEALs train with 40 pounds. Most people think the SEALs will hump with 100 pounds on the back. No, they train with 40 pounds, but they go a long distance.
That's idiotic. I mean, the Army Rangers, to the qual course or the Green Beret qual course, I forget what it is, but it's a stupid amount of weight that you have to complete a 12-mile ruck or something like that within a certain – and it's designed for failure. You know, it's to weed out the people that just ain't going to hack it, you know, and it does a very good job of it too. But there are people that are just – they just push through that pain and they make it and they're successful at it. But I can't think of – and I've had multiple deployments over 24 years. I can't think of a single time that – you know, we were loading up a giant pack on our back to go fight someplace. No, we dropped that shit off, and then we went with a day pack or, you know, it was mission specific. It might just be the H harness. It might, I don't know, when I was in Panama, we didn't even wear the flax because it was so hot and humid, and the flax didn't provide any protection over anything. I don't know, you know, it wasn't going to stop a 7.62 round or nothing like that. The body armor that they have nowadays is so much superior to the old Vietnam era looking flak jackets that you and I had at that time.
Right. Well, most people don't realize flak jackets are not designed to stop bullets. They're designed just to stop flak.
Right. And to make you sweat.
And to make you sweat, which they excel at that.
Yeah. But, I just can't see, you know, carrying a 100-pound pack for multiple days unless I guess I could, but I'm not going to go very far every day. You know,
no, and I talked about this, right? You got the two ends of the spectrum. One is where you have absolutely nothing, which is going to give you the greatest speed and the greatest distance, but then you got no preparations with you. And the other end of the spectrum is the full weight of everything, but you're not going to go far, and you certainly ain't getting there fast.
Right. And, you know, and nowadays, me, I still have the mind. My mind still says that I can do this kind of stuff.
Mine too.
But my body tells me otherwise, and Misty can tell you too, but my body says otherwise. You know, I still say that I can do this. My mindset is still there. And that is a giant part of the battle right there, is to have the proper mindset and the drive. And if your body fails, then your body fails, I guess. But, you know, like out here where we're at, out here in Kansas, let's see. Right now my thermometer on the car is saying 99 degrees.
Wow.
I am not going, and I am in the, I'm looking around right now, and if I had to walk any direction, it's going to suck bad. It's going to suck really bad because I have several miles to get to anything. So, you know, my plan out here is to go from horse trough to horse trough. I'm looking for windmills. I'm looking for water wells. I'm looking for irrigation systems that I can get water from. And that's how I'm going to move. and it's going to be at night too, where it's a lot cooler. Although there are, you know, the environmental hazards during the day. Am I acclimatized to 100 degree weather? I don't know. I think I am. If I have enough water, I can pretty much do it. I've worn people out working on our place, you know, hire them out for day work, and I'll wear their asses out. Why? Because I'm acclimatized to it, and I'm not, I know better. I'm going to stop and drink water. I'm going to stop what I'm doing and hydrate, because you have to. And I've seen, we're doing missions in Africa. I've seen where the lieutenants, and that was the key word there, the lieutenants, they want to do something for their fit rep and impress the colonel and stuff like that at the detriment of their men. And that's wrong. And I've seen where they're not stopping for food, but they're hydrating. Yes, they're hydrating. They're overhydrating. And you can get what's called hyponatremia, which is you're drinking. Yeah, you're drinking fine. You're drinking a lot of fluid. You're drinking as much as you can, but you're not supplementing that with a nutritious meal. And it doesn't, or I'm not going to say a nutritious meal. You're not supplementing it with electrolytes and carbohydrates. And it doesn't have to be go get a giant pizza and eat it. It could be, and you can always tell these people that have hyponatremia is, man, they will scarf down that bag of chips because their body is lacking salt. They basically diluted their blood system with so much fluid that the blood is not carrying any kind of electrolytes to supplement the body. And so instead of the lieutenant saying, okay, we're going to move, but I need you guys to eat on the move. You know, grab that power bar, grab that simple stuff to eat, not the chicken chow mein, but, you know, grab the simple stuff to eat that you can eat on the move and fill your pockets up with that kind of stuff and eat on the move. But they failed to do that, and then we had basically a mass casualty incident. And it wasn't nice. And that can cause permanent damage, too. But hyponatremia is real, where you're eating, not eating enough. You're drinking a lot of fluids, but you're not eating enough, replacing the electrolytes that you lost. Okay.
Yeah, basically, you're just flushing your body when you do that.
That's exactly what you're doing, is you're flushing the body. And then you're causing kidney damage and all kinds of other organ damage. And, you know, it could eventually just permanent damage that you're done.
Yeah. No, I agree. And we're going to be talking about this all next week. And one of the ideas, just so people have an idea, like I may carry all this stuff in my backpack, but my idea is when I get to a location where I think it might be okay to do it and I understand what the mission parameters are going to be, I'm going to take some of that stuff out of my backpack. And in my backpack, I have a couple of the heavy-duty contractor's trash bags, and I'm going to put it inside that bag. Tie it nice and tight, because it's actually watertight if you pull them not tight enough. Put that bag inside a second bag, and I'm going to bury it there. And I'm going to remember where I buried it, so I don't have to carry all that weight with me everywhere I got to go. I just want the mission-specific stuff, but I want all that stuff in my backpack in the initial phase, because I may not understand exactly what it is I have to do at that point.
Bullshit. That's a good plan right there. And just train. And I'm lacking in training. I'm lacking in, you know, shoot, moving, and communicating. I haven't done that in a while.
That's all they are. They ain't testing for no goddamn virus.
I'm sorry? Hello?
I don't know. Somebody was in the background talking there. All right.
I didn't hear it.
All right, so, Doc, we'll be talking about this all next week, because what we want people to do is to understand the basic concepts. And we want something that's easy to remember, because they may not have to act on this for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months from now, but we want something that's easy for them to recall, especially when they're under the duress, because then it starts kicking in.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and be on. It all depends on where I'm at the time. Sometimes I lose the signal, but I'll try and be on every day now that I got this different job.
All right, well, that helps, because me and you have been out there. We've done this kind of shit where we've lived out of our backpacks. We've put maximum weight that our bodies can hold and have pushed our bodies to literally to their physical limits. And I know I've reached a point where I never failed to complete the march, but I was damn close by the time we got there.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But you drive on. You drive on. Try not to be the soup sandwich.
All right. So unless we've got anything else, I'm going to give this back to Henry because we got to give Henry the closing words here.
All righty then. There was a lot of good information. It reminds me of many times when I'm talking about lightning striking the shit house and the person I'm talking to, I'll take to the hills. And I always ask them the same question. I go, have you ever been up in them hills in January when it's fucking 7 below 0? And how long are you going to stay up in them fucking hills? And I know these people don't even own so much as a fucking backpack. They got a rifle and maybe 20 rounds of fucking ammunition. Yeah, but they're going to take to the hills. So, well, good luck. That being said, we're way past the top of the hour, but that's all right. It was a lot of good information, and we'll be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, if they come after you, man, take to the hills. That is The Word from the Trenches.